Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, we are loaded on a Wednesday, live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. We're on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. 1 hour from now, Joel Klatt yells at me. 30 minutes from now, Nick Wright yells at me. Nick Swisher stopping by today. Jonathan Vilma, Jane Slater on the Cowboys mess. What a great way to start the World Series. Joy Taylor, how are you?
That was a fun game last night.
Between the Lakers winning the championship and the Dodgers now raking it in the World Series, I was saying last night, I don't leave home unless you promise me a ring. I don't even leave the house now unless I got a ring or a parade schedule.
Mookie Betts is just
Oh my
spectacular.
Lord. Yeah, I'm going to get to Mookie in a second. Let me start with this. So during our show yesterday, the story came out. Jane Slater, she'll be on our show later. Great reporter on the Cowboys for years. Multiple players saying our coaches are unprepared. They don't teach. We don't buy into it. And Mike McCarthy came out yesterday and he said, well, you know, it's the system. We've got a new system. And, you know, a lot of people are defending Mike McCarthy. It is a new system. I would like to see a system where the players quit, because that's what's happening in Dallas. That must be a revolutionary new system I'm not up on. Players quit. Arizona scored on a end of the game handoff that was trying to kill the clock. It's not just about losing. Brian Flores lost last year. And we kept saying over and over, boy, they are getting better every week. I'd said it about the New York Giants this year. The New York Giants are losing, but they're getting a little better every week. The players are buying in. The Bengals this year have a win and a tie. They look really promising. Cliff Kingsbury last year was 5-11, but nobody was calling him out with a new system. It was like, you know what? He's a really good fit for Kyler Murray. Mike McCarthy's a bad fit right now in the NFL. Dallas players aren't playing hard. Last five games, they've given up 39, 38, 49, 34, 38. And you know what? We should not have been surprised by this. My bad. Because the most front-facing public figure in the NFL, Aaron Rodgers, had open contempt for him for 3 years. Because when Mike McCarthy, who won a Super Bowl, got fired in Green Bay, no takers. And then he started doing something that I've always been skeptical of. My entire life. He started trying too hard to tell you he was current. My wife always says that. Colin, you got to stay current. And it's like, that's good because I've always liked new music. I don't listen to classic rock and roll. I'll listen to anything. I don't care if it's new country, new hip hop. I like new music. It's just my makeup. That's what I like. I like new stuff. I don't collect baseball cards. I don't collect anything. I don't collect anything. That's just not my thing. So, and staying current matters because I used to work at a company. Four letters, not going to get into it. But in the last 10 years, there's been a big pivot in our business from just TV to digital. And some people, some executives, it's natural. They like new stuff. It's in their DNA. They love digital. They love podcasting. Then a lot of guys fake it. They panic. They got two kids in college. They got to save money. And they're dinosaurs. And that's Mike McCarthy. He's trying to tell you how progressive he is. Andy Reid's been progressive for a decade. He doesn't need his buddies in the media to sell it. Pete Carroll is letting Russ cook. He's going against what his whole career. He's Pete Carroll. He got fired in the NFL before the USC job. He started going to these classes. He broke down his football coaching. He started over again. And it's really who, if you know Pete the surfer, it's who Pete is. Belichick's always been highly academic. Belichick's always been ahead of the curve, always moving ahead of the curve. He was the first guy to like midfield, fourth down, we're going for it. It's natural. It's not for Mike McCarthy, but he's trying to sell you on it. And I think Mike McCarthy, who's still a fairly young guy, got fired in Green Bay and he got scared. I've seen executives in my business do this. They panic and they're trying to sell you. They love the new world and they really don't. Mike McCarthy admitted it at the press conference when he got hired by the Dallas Cowboys. He did. McCarthy.
I need to confess. I mean, I told Jerry I watched every play of the 2019 season, but I wanted the job. I had I haven't watched every play of the season, but it was just, I mean, you do what you got to do, right?
It's like the dad whose daughter forces him to go on TikTok, and he pretends like he likes it, but he doesn't really like it. It's not him. And I'm not saying it's for everybody. But a couple of weeks ago, Joy was here. I kept saying McCarthy was going to the podium after games and during the week. And he was dropping all this, like, analytic jargon. And it was like, dude, you're trying way too hard to sell me on it. Andy Reid, for 10 years, spends his offseason, he'll send me pictures of it, drawing up his plays. He loves it. It's who he is. He's not faking it. He doesn't talk about it at the podium. I am always suspicious of people who are trying to sell me something. If you go to a really nice car dealership or a really nice boat dealership, you go to a Mercedes dealership or, you know, like high end. You know what they do? Look around. They're not selling you. We got the best stuff. Look around. But you go to a used car salesman, this Prelude, maybe a 1988, it runs like a top. Push, sell, push, sell. You're trying too hard. Turn off. Mike McCarthy's trying too hard to sell his system. Trying too hard to tell you he's into analytics. It's not who he is, and that's okay. Some people get to 55 years old, and they're done, and they don't want to grow. I see it all the time with political people. They talk about politics. Some people just grab on the past. They romanticize the past. They're not growers. They're not curious. It's just not who they are. They just want to go to their country club, play golf with people just like them, and that's fine. There's a lot of room in America for that. And then there are people like Bill Belichick who are just academically curious. His mom spoke seven languages. It's in his DNA, his genetics. Bill is just a thinker. He's always moving. Andy Reid and the Pete Carroll. By the way, Nick Saban's the same way. Nick Saban is always trying new stuff on offense, considering he's almost 70 years old. McCarthy's one of those guys. He hit 55, and now he's panicking, and now he's desperate. Now he's trying to sell you on, hey, use lingo and jargon. And it's like, no, dude, this is not who you are. This is players. And by the way, players aren't buying it. Dallas players aren't buying it. It's not losing. Miami's not really a good football team. They've beaten the Jets. They've beaten the Jags. They beat a beat-up 49ers team. Miami's not really a great team. They weren't a great team last year. But incrementally, every week, they get a little better. And that tells you they buy in. They buy in. Arizona, same thing. They're buying in to Cliff Kingsbury. They're buying in to Brian Flores. These Cowboys are out. They are Seacrest out. They're not buying this stuff. All right. There's a lot of good baseball players. There's a lot of stars in baseball, and they're very productive. Nobody quite like Mookie Betts of the Dodgers. Dodgers have been good for years, and they got a bunch of stars. They never had Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts is baseball in the 70s and 80s. Fast, some power, can hit. Last night's classic. Gets on base. Steals second, steals third, scores on a chopper with the infield pulled in. That's 70s, 80s baseball. There were a lot of guys that played like Mookie Betts in the 70s, 80s. They weren't as good as Mookie Betts. But this guy is juice. This guy is energy. There are 19 guys in Major League Baseball right now with one of these absurd 10, 11, 12-year contracts. There's two I do it with. Mike Trout and Mookie Betts. And in fact, if I was the Angels, I would have sold Trout because he's so expensive for the Angels, not a huge revenue team. He'll probably limit their upside going down, you know, down through the years. Mookie Betts is a 12-year contract. That's a 10-year contract. That is a catalyst. By the way, a lot of guys, Giancarlo Stanton for the Yankees is a great player. He's not a leader. He hits bombs. This reminds me of the 49ers for years and years and years. The San Francisco 49ers were good, and they couldn't beat the Cowboys. They couldn't beat the Dallas Cowboys, and they went out and got Deion Sanders, and they won a Super Bowl. And it was like they had a bunch of great players. Niners had great players everywhere. The Cowboys had great players and a little juice. And Deion was the energy. He was the juice. He was sort of the swagger. He was the catalyst. And suddenly the Niners were unbeatable. There are a lot of guys in baseball are productive, and we call them stars. They're fast but have no power. They got power, but they got no speed. Mookie is the five tool. He does everything well. He literally, in a roster full of stars, plays the game differently. Cody Bellinger said it after the game. if you're a baseball diehard or you're a casual baseball fan, which I am, if you can't spot that, I mean, that's an easy one. That is, I understood the Red Sox, you know, it's a lot of money, and the Red Sox are kind of cutting back and trimming payroll. I get it. And I don't understand almost all of these 19 guys in baseball with these absurd 10-year contracts. They're all garbage. None of them are worth it. This guy, that's a 10-year contract or a 12-year contract. Boom, I'll sign off on it. Cody Bellinger after.
Yeah, it's really unbelievable. It's so fun to watch, and we're so lucky to have him on our team. I just said, like, he's a superstar guy, superstar talent, but he does all the little things right, and it's you can really learn from that when a guy's that good and he just wants to win and, like I said, just continues to do the small things that go unnoticed by a lot of people, maybe not, but it's really special.
And again, Bellinger's a star, Seager's a star, Clayton Kershaw was great last night, Dodgers won 8-3, but when you watch this team, they have been so good for years. They just put a catalyst. They just put energy and juice in this operation. And I said it yesterday, if you gave the Dodgers a closer and their bullpen's not good and this is going to be a good series, it's not going to be quick because the Dodgers bullpen is bad enough, it's going to give up leads. You know, Tampa's going to come from behind and win a game or two in this series and it's not over. But what you're seeing there is it reminded me so much of 70s and 80s baseball. Get on, steal second, steal third, cat and mouse, manipulate the game. A run scored that shouldn't score. That 99 out of 100 players in baseball can't do that. A lot of guys can hit home runs. A lot of guys can run. They can't do that. And he also won the Braves series with two or three unbelievable defensive plays. Dodgers are here because of Mookie Betts. Dodgers have been good for years. They are here and leading in the series because of Mookie Betts. Clayton Kershaw also good last night. Coming up, it's easy to say the Cowboys are bad. I've said now for 2 to 3 weeks, they're a rebuilding team. They just don't want to admit it. There is a trade to be made within the next 13 days. I think it makes the Cowboys better. I think it gets the Cowboys on the right track. And I think it gives either the Bears or the Ravens a real shot at multiple playoff wins. That's coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
If you're not ready to give up, if you want to feel more energized, strong, try M-Drive. Only supplement for driven men, mdriveformen.com. Today, Walgreens has it. Listen, it's easy to just, you know, have no solutions and bang on the Cowboys. And I think they have the wrong coach. I don't think it's right. I don't think the players buy it. Great reporting by Jane Slater yesterday. I think the Cowboys are in a rebuild. I think their owner has to admit they're in a rebuild, and this is the downside to having an owner as a general manager. Jerry's often very busy doing local radio hits on Monday. Oh, boy. Let's offer a solution in this rebuild. Where the Cowboys deep, wide receiver, really deep. Cedric Wilson's their four. Cedric Wilson can play. Amari's a really good player. Michael Gallup is excellent. CeeDee Lamb is really talented. It's time to trade Michael Gallup. Third year of a four-year contract. You're going to have to pay him pretty quick. You need cap help, and you need to rebuild, and you do not need a fourth really good wide receiver. CeeDee Lamb looks potentially spectacular. Cedric Wilson can absolutely play as a great three, and Amari's a one. Trade him. You're 2-4. It doesn't matter if you can win the division. You're in a rebuild. The Ravens desperately need another two receiver. Chicago after Allen Robinson. With Tariq Cohen out. The more Chicago wins, Chicago's got the coach, the defense, and one star. The Bears and the Ravens are dying for a number two receiver. I'll tell you another one. The Green Bay Packers. The Colts. These are good teams. I think the Patriots, but they probably wouldn't do it, right? They don't spend on anything. They already got burned by Mohamed Sanu. They probably won't do it. But, you know, I remember as a kid hearing this. First step for an alcoholic is admitting they're an alcoholic. And the first step in the NFL to a rebuild is admitting we're in a rebuild. The Giants are admitting it. Washington's admitting it. Miami, by the way, going with Tua, they're admitting it. Miami's like, hey, they can make the playoffs. But they know we're still in the rebuild mode. And that's okay. My entire life watching the NFL, at least 25% of the NFL is in a rebuild. Joy's been watching it forever. There's always like seven teams in a rebuild. Dallas is. They just don't want to admit it. Arizona is. Crush Dallas in Dallas, and they're in a rebuild. So to me, Amari Cooper, excellent. Cedric Wilson, shockingly good. CeeDee Lamb, you just took him in the first round. Get him more looks. You are more than good enough at wide receiver. And Michael Gallup is, it's funny how this works. For whatever reason at the trading deadline, it's always this way. You got teams that are good, Chicago and Baltimore good, but they feel like, man, how do we beat Patrick Mahomes? We got it. Michael Gallup's a big physical receiver. He's a big red zone presence. He can go deep. That is where Baltimore, that can't beat Kansas City, in their eyes, they may, it's not going to be a guard. It's not going to, they got plenty of running back. It's going to be like, can we get a cheap touchdown? Because Kansas City, we got to outscore them. Can we get a cheap touchdown? Chicago, similarly, looks at Green Bay and looks at Aaron Rodgers and like, okay, we're at a deficit when we play Green Bay because of Aaron Rodgers. How do we solve the deficit? Allen Robinson's a great one. Gallup's a number two. It's like, okay, now we may have a better one and two than Green Bay at wide receiver to elevate Nick Foles. This is the way, I don't know why it is wide receiver, but that's always the position at the trading deadline where a good team goes, okay, there's this offense in our conference. There's this offense in our division. There's this quarterback in our division. And if you're Baltimore and you're like Big Ben's on fire plus that defense, and you look around, Tannehill's on fire. Michael Gallup's a really attractive piece. Get a second-round pick for him. You probably won't get a player because good teams don't want to give up player. Go get a second-round pick. Then next year you got a first and 2 seconds. That's 3 starters. Get them all on defense. But you got to admit you're in a rebuild because you are. Peter King, I asked Peter King yesterday, like, what does this organization have to do to get back to where they were about 4 years ago where they had a bunch of good young players? I mean, right now the Cowboys' offensive line is old. Their defensive line, the best player is Aldon Smith. They have one corner I like. The rest of the secondary you can have. They have a tight end who's capable but not special. When you have like when your offensive and defensive lines are issues, you're officially rebuilding. I don't care who's at quarterback. If your offensive and defensive lines are old, average, beat up, you're rebuilding. Peter King yesterday.
The way you solve it, I think, is going back to the same kind of meat and potatoes that made them pick Zach Martin over Johnny Manziel in the draft. That's what they have to do. They can't be emotional about their team right now. And they are playing right now without three of the five building blocks on your offensive line right now. With the offensive line they put on the field, they're incapable of being a dominant team.
They are. It's rebuild time. Jerry, get off local radio. Call the Bears GM. Call the Ravens GM. Start the rebuild now. I don't care if you're going to win the division. You're going to get – if you did, you're going to get – the Giants today may win that division. You'd get baked if you got into the playoffs anyway. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herd Line News.
Oh, well, another team that may be rebuilding soon, or is rebuilding soon, is the Falcons, 2-4, last place in the NFC South. And even though trades involving star players are usually not common during the regular NFL season, some people are wondering if the Falcons could blow up their roster.
We said this 2 weeks ago. It sounds crazy, but Matt Ryan to me, like, I feel like I'm getting an older Matt Ryan, and I'm looking around, Joy, at all these dynamic quarterbacks. I think you can get something for Matt.
Well, according to ESPN's Dan Graziano and Jeremy Fowler, there are people who think that they could be shopped before the trade deadline in 2 weeks. So Matt Ryan's 35. He has 3 more years remaining on his contract after this season that pay him $30 million annually. Jones is also signed through 2023 at an average salary of $22 million, so two really high salaries. Trading Ryan would result in an immediate cap acceleration of $44.4 million, and the Falcons currently have less than $2 million in cap space. So, obviously, this is a massive move off of their cap situation.
You know what? But I respect it. In the Super Bowl a couple years ago, they're just blowing it up. They're like, coach out, GM out, quarterback out. I can, and by the way, instead of arguing for 3 years that you're not in a rebuild, Atlanta's like, okay, we got to the Super Bowl with Matt Ryan. We should have won a Super Bowl. We didn't. But we look around the league right now. Let's start over. I totally respect that by Atlanta. Acknowledging we just don't feel that we're special at that position.
And look, Julio Jones is still a big-time talent in the league.
Yeah.
And Matt Ryan still has some football to play. So this isn't a bad situation for either of them either. Things come to an end. And it really feels like, to your point, Atlanta just keeps trying to push through what happened to the Super Bowl, and every year it's just progressively gotten worse.
Yep.
So
yep.
just call it.
That's
like
right.
Stop dragging out a situation that everyone can see is not working, and that doesn't mean that Matt Ryan can't go somewhere else and have success, or that Julio won't either.
Yeah.
But that cap situation is a nightmare if you're not moving forward and you're 2-4 and you're in last place in the division. So yeah. You have to do something drastic at that point. So Trevor Lawrence will undoubtedly be the number one pick in the NFL draft this year. And former NFL wide receiver Roddy White has some advice for the Clemson quarterback.
If I'm Trevor Lawrence, if the Jets finish with no wins, I just go back to Clemson. I'm just going to go back for another year. I don't want any part of that organization, because it would be awful for you to get drafted by the Jets, because they do not know how to put anything together over there. As far as quarterbacking, as far as weapons around the quarterback, as far as anything that has to do with offensive talent, as far as offense, man, that team is just bad at picking players.
I don't disagree with him as far as the Jets go, but here's the problem. Whoever has the number one pick in the draft is going to be a bad team. That's why they have the number one pick in the draft.
Yeah, but yes, you're right. That is right. But I think the Giants are bad, but I trust their ownership because I've seen it win championships. The Jets are bad, and I don't trust their ownership. There's a difference between bads. Like Miami with Brian Flores right now, I'm like, this is moving in the right direction.
Yeah, but there's a massive risk with this as well. You could go back to Clemson and get injured.
No. I wouldn't go back to Clemson. What I would do is do what Elway and Eli did.
Oh, I think that's a terrible idea for multiple reasons. One, you're not dissing San Diego. You're not dissing Jacksonville. You're dissing New York City. That's a place I don't want to have a pass to go to, okay? That's a big, I'm not going to the New York Jets. That's a pretty big deal. Also, this is not Eli Manning and Peyton Manning's NFL. There's social media now. If you go somewhere else and you're not a multiple-time Super Bowl winner, you're going to hear that for the rest of your career, so you better be successful wherever it is you go. And you could risk going to another organization that's terrible. Like, Joe Burrow not doing this, and I know a lot of people don't consider Joe Burrow to be Trevor Lawrence's level, but Joe Burrow going to the Cincinnati Bengals was the right choice. And there was some talk about him forcing his way out of Cincinnati too. You go to the New York Jets. The New York Jets are going to make a move at the head coaching position. We know that. So they're going to go in a different direction. Hopefully they bring someone in who can establish a culture. It's not like the Jets have never been a winning organization. They've just been habitually dysfunctional, as most teams that have the number one pick are. I think it is a horrible idea to try and look, we live in a different world now. That reeks of privilege. It's just not a good idea. I don't think it's a good look. I go to the New York Jets and make it happen in New York City. There's a lot worse places you could live than New York City. Finally, the Dolphins named Tua their starting quarterback, and Coach Brian Flores spoke about the decision to start his rookie quarterback going forward.
I feel like, you know, through practice and meetings and walkthroughs, that he's ready. This was the best move for our team right now. You know, look, Fitz has done a great job. He's been productive. His leadership's been great. It's not an easy decision, for me or us as an organization. But we felt like, for the team now, moving forward, this is the move we needed to make.
Brian's been successful to this point. There's no reason for me not to trust him. He's watched all the practice video. I trust him.
So similar to what you were talking about with the Cowboys and what we were just talking about with the Falcons, the Dolphins are in a rebuild. They're trending in the right direction. We talked about it all at the end of the last season, that they were playing hard. Yes, they were losing, but if there's a way to lose the right way, it's what they were doing. Fitzpatrick knew what the situation was before the season started. He knew why he was there. He's been amazing with Tua and amazing in the situation. But can we stop acting like the Dolphins have the best record in the league and they're going to get a bye?
They beat the Jets, the Jags, and a beat-up Niners team.
They're 3-3. I'm confused. What am I watching here? Like, yes, Fitz has been good. He has not been great. Go look at his numbers, all right? He throws a lot of interceptions, and this is going to hit a wall because why do I know that? Fitzpatrick has been on 9 teams. We know what Ryan Fitzpatrick is.
Yeah, we've seen the Fitz magic thing evaporate quick.
I'm not making this up.
Right.
This is not changing. And Ryan Fitzpatrick knows that. That's why he bought into the situation and is not saying, no, I need this to be my team. This is not a Super Bowl year for the Miami Dolphins.
No.
Why are you trying so hard to get a wild card bid so that you can go into the first week of the playoffs and get mopped? That's not the plan.
Right.
Thank God Brian Flores knows that. You have to find out what you have in Tua.
Yes.
Get him out there. He has to play football. That's how you get better at football. And I understand Aaron Donald is not the one that you want to go against your first week, but
you got to go against somebody.
You got to go against the NFL defensive lineman eventually.
Yeah. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
My friend Nick Wright, first things first, joining me now live. Brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. On Tuesday, I brought out the Herd Hierarchy. It's considered an industry leader. What I say normally goes, America, GMs, coaches, just acknowledge my number one team is number one. This week, I had Tampa Bay, a much better defense than, say, Kansas City. And now, as we predicted, the Bucs defense would be great early. The offense about Thanksgiving would be good. And apparently, Nick Wright saw this and just... I guess the only doubter of the Herd hierarchy in its history. Go ahead. What's wrong with it?
Well, it made me so mad that I have decided that starting tomorrow, I'm going to release my own tiers of the NFL to counter-program this nonsense. So on First Things First, 8 a.m. tomorrow, new segment, the Nick Wright tiers to go up against the Herd hierarchy. So, Colin, I want to describe a team to you. This team has a great defense. Star wide receiver who probably is a little underrated, an aging tight end, an offensive-minded smart coach, and great coordinators. Who'd I just describe? The Chicago Bears, who you got at 10, or the Tampa Bay Bucks, who you got at 1. If only the two had played each other and we could see, oh, wait, they did. If only one had a better record, oh, wait, they do. In what world can the Tampa Bay Bucks be 1, the Chicago Bears be 10. The only world where that makes sense is if you think the gap between Brady and Foles in the year of our Lord 2020 is that great. And I am here to tell you it ain't. So that I got no problem. I like you underrating the Chiefs. You've been underrating the Chiefs for 3 years. It's worked out great for us in our championship. So that's fine. But you having Tampa at number one is an affront to logic and an insult to that really plucky team in Chicago, I would say, having them all the way down at 10.
Well, I think Tampa's got, I don't know, about 5 more good weapons offensively. But needless to say, let's talk about Kansas City, because I said the other day, I said quarterbacks, even the great ones, should be used like salt. They make everything better. But you can put too much salt in the dish and ruin it. And Kansas City, when I watch them against Buffalo, I'm like, okay, no interest playing that team. I honestly thought it was one of the smartest game plans Andy'd had, and it was one of the most impressive performances by Mahomes. I know he was better against Goff on Monday Night Football. They lost. I'm not interested in shootout Mahomes. When I watched that, I was like, oh, that would last for 13 years because Mahomes wouldn't have to throw 39 times. You have to admit, sometimes pulling back on the heroics is actually the better Chiefs team.
So... it's interesting because it's hard to argue with what they did. It was very obvious Buffalo, you know, it's funny going into the game. It's like, hey, Josh Allen, possible MVP. And the Chiefs game plan was dare you to beat us, Josh. Try not to blind a fan with an errant throw. And he had 65 yards passing through 53 minutes. The Bills were up against a real MVP. And their game plan was we're going to rush 3, drop 8, and dare you to run. And the Chiefs just said, okay, we'll run every time. We'll take it. We'll take the 8 yards every time. And it feels great and it sounds great. But then all of a sudden, because of that game plan, the Bills were able to stay within reach. And it's a 6-point game with 4 minutes left. And the Chiefs are in a 3rd and 12. And if not for a miraculous Mahomes play, they're punting the ball away down less than a score. So I understand why they did it, but as a Chiefs fan, there was a level of anxiety because, yeah, you've got to run against those looks, but it's so hard to blow a team out that way. And so I understand why they did it maybe early in the season, especially if you're trying to make sure Mahomes stays healthy. That's what you're going to do. But the way the Chiefs win multiple Super Bowls is not through, you know, trying to be the Oklahoma Sooners of 1982. The way they win multiple Super Bowls is by putting as much salt on their food as that chef Joy likes. What's it? I don't know his name.
Salt Bay,
that fella. Yeah. As often as possible and letting Mahomes air it out.
We both like Aaron Rodgers. I'm more critical of him. And I do, you know, you love data like I do. And there are certain numbers out there you cannot deny with Aaron. That if he trails at any point in a football game, any point, He has a career losing record. Mahomes has won 65% of his, which, by the way, I would understand that with Mahomes in 10 years. But when you're young, I can understand if you're not as good coming back from behind. Same with Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson. The second thing is he has fewer come from behind wins than Derek Carr and Ryan Tannehill. Is that I can't get past this. The body language stinks. When Aaron trailed after that second pick in a windy stadium, he changed. He's like, I'm not going to throw it downfield. And I'm sorry. I know he's great. But I'm not saying quitting, but you're more than a thrower of a football to quarterback. You are a leader. Russell Wilson never feels out of a game. Mahomes has trailed 24-0. No. Never. Aaron Rodgers, this is now a trend. I'm not just saying this because I don't like the Packers, right? You see this.
No, that's fair. No, that's fair. Listen, I do love Aaron, and I think as we're seeing, think about, I'm going to do an odd correlation here. Adam Gase got his job in New York in part because they're like, my God, he made Ryan Tannehill average. And now we're seeing it's like, oh my God, he made Ryan Tannehill average. Look how good he's been. Like, we didn't know what we were seeing. With seeing McCarthy struggle the way he is immediately in Dallas, I feel like we have to put a little more respect on what Aaron was able to do the decade with McCarthy. I think that's fair.
Fair.
But I also think what you're saying is totally fair. That there are certain guys that when things are going great, they are as good as can possibly be. And if things go awry, they don't pick themselves up. And I think that is a fair critique. I'm going to add another critique for Aaron. Because listen, Colin, I've never been complain about the celebrations guy. But I watched 20 years ago us have a national meltdown about Randy Moss pretending to moon a crowd. I watched 2 years ago us do 96 hours of wall-to-wall coverage like they were naming a new pope when Odell Beckham Jr. pretended to pee like a dog in the end zone. Whether Aaron Rodgers is doing an old Key and Peele sketch or not, if he's going to pantomime sex in the end zone and then have the worst game of his life after and get outscored 38-0, methinks if that was almost any other player in the league, certainly if it was Odell or Cam or other guys, that would have been a hell of a lot more discussed.
Yeah.
That when you go up 10-0, you're doing this touchdown celebration, and then it's pick six, nearly another pick six, and I feel like he kind of skirted on that.
No, it's fair. I heard you talk about that this week, and I think it's a very interesting point, and I think it's a fair point, and I think it's right. Finally, Jerry Jones is, you know, doing local radio hits. He's probably too busy to get on the phone with the Bears and the Ravens. I made a suggestion this morning. Trade Michael Gallup. You're going to have to pay him in a year. They are in a rebuild mode. We have committed this narrative. Oh, it's a very talented team. Really? If Zeke's your best player, I don't think he's what he was 2 years ago. They should call the Bears, the Ravens, Michael Gallup. My theory is Dallas is in a rebuild mode. They just don't want to admit it.
Yeah, I think Dallas has major problems. And this is all Monday morning quarterbacking for me because I picked them to go to the Super Bowl. So obviously I whiffed on it.
Yeah.
But they've got some of the highest paid guys in league history. And are any of them performing like it?
No.
The only guy who fumbles more than Zeke is Daniel Jones in the whole league. Amari Cooper is the king of the garbage time yards when his team's down 24 points. DeMarcus Lawrence is one of the highest paid defensive linemen ever. He's not even one of the three best defensive linemen on his own team this year. Dude Alden Smith, who was out of the league for 5 years, is lapping him as far as quarterback pressures and sacks. Their offensive line's high paid. They're hurt, so you can't blame them for that. Jalen Smith was at one point the highest paid inside linebacker not named Luke Kuechly ever. He can't keep up with Kyler Murray. So they've paid the wrong people, right? So then you do have to make tough decisions. Michael Gallup was a good pick. But now do you have to trade him to try to get another pick because you can't afford to pay him because you paid the wrong people? I think that is a really, I think it's an interesting point. I think this year's trade deadline could be super fascinating because as Joy mentioned, I think Julio Jones could be available. You could see, I wonder if Odell could be available. You could see some receivers moving around. And your idea of one of those receivers going to the Packers, I think, makes sense. But, yeah, Dallas is in real trouble. And I don't care that they're leading their division. You get no credit for that in my eyes. That just means you're going to get one extra game to play and get 30 balled by whoever the first wild card team in the NFC is.
Nick Wright, first things first. Didn't Nick look great today? Look at him. He looks like he's just running something that's important.
Nick always looks great because he has the best stylist in the business. He
was wife. Yeah, yes. Of course, yes.
Oh, you guys are so kind. And Joy, I was just guessing that you liked Salt Bay. I have no evidence of that. So if I defamed you, then I apologize.
I have eaten at his restaurant a long time ago. I've softened on Salt Bay ever since, but his prices are a bit high, amongst other things. But
okay.
It's still a good reference.
All right.
Good
see
stuff.
You guys.
Nick Wright, see you, buddy.
All right,
coming up next, the Patriots. Brady's won this divorce so far. It could get better for Tampa and worse for New England. That and Joel Klatt, top of the hour of The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Everybody's got a blind spot. The best CEOs, the best companies, everybody's got a blind spot. Everybody's got one. Bill Belichick's the best football coach ever. He's got a blind spot. He cannot draft wide receivers. He is the worst drafter of wide receivers as an NFL Hall of Fame coach ever. His best draft pick ever was Matthew Slater, UCLA. He's a special teams guy. Deion Branch, Julian Edelman. Edelman was a quarterback. He can't do it. They drafted N'Keal Harry first round. I saw him in college. I liked him. Big physical guy. Not a burner, but a big tough kid, hard worker. Herm Edwards told me off air he liked him a lot. And here's what Greg Cosell said. He didn't have any catches against Denver on Sunday. In 8 of his 13 games, he's had 2 or fewer catches. He can't separate from anybody. He looks like a bust. Here's Greg Cosell.
N'Keal Harry, he's I know you're a Pac-12 guy. He does not move really well, Colin. I mean, I'm trying to figure out what exactly he can become in this league because there's not a lot of juice to his movement.
These are receivers drafted after N'Keal Harry from Arizona State in the draft. They're not just good. They're stars for their team. Deebo Samuel. I mean, Deebo Samuel is just a monster. A.J. Brown, Tennessee. Mecole Hardman for Kansas City. DK Metcalf is a star in the league. Terry McLaurin for Washington, a third-round pick, has been unbelievable. Dwayne Haskins has a better eye for wide receivers. Dwayne Haskins told Washington, draft Terry McLaurin. I played with him. He's really good. He is. Top 10 receiver in yards. There's a lot of theories on stuff. And I don't have – here's all – I have two beliefs on why Belichick is so bad at this. The first one is a hunch. The hunch is Bill doesn't watch a lot of college football. He leans on guys like Nick Saban, Urban Meyer, Herm Edwards, who he knows, to give him a recommendation. He calls Herm Edwards. Herm is hardest worker on our team, really good kid, will work his butt off. That's good enough. Bill's not a guy. Bill is great with NFL personnel. He'll steal NFL guys, Wes Welker from Miami. He'll do that all day. He doesn't watch college football on Saturdays. He's a Sunday guy. So that's my first thing. And the other thing is, it's not just wide receivers. Find me all the steals the last 10 years in the draft for New England. The only unit they really find talent is offensive line. They're great at that. But I don't even credit Belichick. That's Dante Scarnecchia, the offensive line coach, who's the best offensive line coach without peer in the game's history. Bill Callahan maybe too. He just takes everything and everything. He's like the Russell Wilson of offensive line coaches. Everything works with Dante Scarnecchia, who's now retired. So my first thing is Bill doesn't love college football. He loves the NFL, and he's brilliant at finding NFL personnel. In fact, the two best players New England has right now are Cam Newton and Stephon Gilmore. They're both free agents. He played Cam twice, couldn't stop him. He's great at going to Buffalo and getting Gilmore. He's always been good at that. So my first one is a hunch. He just doesn't love college football. He relies on guys and friends to give him a heads up. The second thing is, and this is not a hunch, this is what I've been told by two different personnel people in the NFL that have worked with New England and left, is that Bill in January cuts everybody off. I'll take the draft from here. That's not what Pete Carroll does. And Pete Carroll has 15 guys he's stolen in the draft. That's not what Jimmy Johnson did. That's not what Andy Reid does. That's not what Sean Payton does. They are to the very last day, everybody's in. Bill, January, just, I got it from here. And I think it hurts. I don't think they – I think he is an amazing coach. He's brilliant. He's the best coach of my life. I never met him, but I think he's amazing. But they are so bad at drafting one position. There's got to be a reason. I don't believe in fate. I'm not overly religious, so I don't believe in fate. I think you create your reality. Your choices create your reality. He chooses wide receivers poorly. So we know he's not dumb. We know he does. We know he knows talent. But I mean, it's N'Keal Harry looks like a bust. He can't get open. No catches? I understand the Patriots practice issues, but no catches? Joel Klatt is coming up. Now, we have a good, interesting weekend of college football coming up. And also, an insider to the Browns. It's time to start looking for another quarterback. Next.